deep thinking. This program is based on the works of Harun Yahya. Have you ever thought about the fact that you didn't exist before you were conceived and then born into the world, and that you have come into existence from mere nothingness? Have you ever thought about how the flowers you see in your living room every day come out of pitch-black muddy soil with fragrant smells and are as colorful as they are? Have you ever thought about how the peels of fruit such as bananas, watermelons, and oranges serve as wrappings of high quality, and how the fruits are packed in these wrappings so that they maintain their taste and fragrance? Have you ever thought of how your life passes away very quickly, and that you will grow old and become weak, and slowly lose your beauty, health, and strength? Have you ever thought about how one day you will find the angels of death appointed by Allah before you, and that you will then leave this world? Well, have you ever thought about why people are so attached to a world from which they will soon depart, when what they basically need is to strive for the hereafter? Have you ever thought about these things? Man is a being whom Allah furnishes with the faculty of thought. Yet, most people don't use this very important faculty as they should. In fact, some people almost never think. In truth, each person possesses a capacity for thought of which even he himself is unaware. Once man begins to use this capacity, facts that he has not been able to realize until that very moment begin to be uncovered for him. The deeper he goes in reflection, the more his capacity to think improves, and this is possible for everyone. One just has to realize that one needs to reflect and then to strive hard. The purpose of this program is to invite people to think as they should and show ways of thinking as they should. Someone who doesn't think will remain totally distant from truths and lead his life in self-deception and error. As a result, he won't grasp the purpose of the creation of the world and the reason for his existence on the earth. Yet Allah has created everything with a purpose. This fact is stated in the Quran in Surah Dukhan, verse 38 and 39 as follows. We did not create the heavens and the earth and everything between them as a game. We did not create them except with truth, but most of them do not know it. Therefore, each person needs to ponder the purpose of creation, first as it concerns him himself, and then as it pertains to everything he sees in the universe and every event he experiences throughout his life. Someone who doesn't think will understand the facts only after he dies, when he gives account before Allah, but then it will be too late. Allah says in the Quran that on the day of account, everybody will think and see the truth. That day hell is produced. That day man will remember. But how will the remembrance help him? He will say, "If only I had prepared in advance for this life of mine." Surah 89, verse 23 to 24. Allah has summoned all people, through His prophets and books, to reflect on their creation and on the creation of the universe. While Allah has given us a chance in the life of this world to reflect and derive conclusions from our reflections, to see the truth will bring us great gain in our life in the hereafter. It is stated in Surah Rum, verse 8 as follows. Have they not reflected within themselves? Allah did not create the heavens and the earth and everything between them except with truth and for a fixed term. Yet many people reject the meeting with their Lord. Most people think that in order to think deeply, one needs to withdraw to an empty room and isolate oneself from all other people and affairs. Indeed, they make such a big thing of thinking deeply that they find it difficult and conclude that it is a quality exclusive to philosophers. However, Allah summons people to reflect in Surah Sa'd, verse 29. He informs that He has revealed the Quran for people to reflect on it. It is a book we have sent down to you full of blessing, so let people of intelligence ponder its signs and take heed. What is important is one sincerely improving one's ability to think and going deeper in thinking. People who don't spend effort to that end continue their lives in deep heedlessness. The word heedlessness has connotations like neglectfulness, without forgetting, abandoning, being mistaken, disregarding, being careless. The heedless state of those who don't reflect is a consequence of forgetting or deliberately disregarding the purpose of their creation and of the realities which religion teaches. Yet, this is an extremely dangerous course that may lead to hell. Correspondingly, in Surah Maryam, verse 39, Allah has warned people against being among the heedless. Warn them of the day of bitter regret, when the affair will be resolved, but they take no notice, and they do not believe. One of the most important effects of thinking is that it removes the spell on people. In the Quran, Allah asked people, "So how have you been bewitched?" The word bewitched in the verse implies a state of mental numbness that takes control of people as a whole. An unthinking person's mind is benumbed. His sight becomes fuzzy. He acts as if he doesn't see the facts before his eyes, and his faculty of judgment weakens. He becomes incapable of grasping even a plain truth. He can't be fully conscious of extraordinary events taking place right beside him. We can explain one of the outcomes of this collective spell with an example. Beneath the Earth's surface lies a boiling stratum called magma. The crust of the Earth is very thin, which implies that this blaze is very close to us, almost under our feet. In order to have a better understanding of how thin the Earth's crust is, we can make a comparison. The thickness of the Earth's crust in proportion to the whole Earth can be compared to the thickness of apple peel in proportion to the whole apple. Everyone knows that there is a stratum boiling at very high temperatures right beneath the Earth's surface, but doesn't think much about it, because no one around them thinks about it. Their parents, brothers, the journalists of the newspapers they read, TV program producers, and their university professors don't think about it either. Let's try to make you think this over a little. Let's assume that a person, having lost his memory, tries to learn about his surroundings by asking questions of everyone around him. This person would first ask where he is. What would he think if he was told that beneath the ground he stands on a globe of boiling fire, and that these flames could gush out of the Earth's surface in the events of a strong earthquake or a volcanic eruption? Let's go further and suppose that this person was told that this world is simply a small planet and it floats in an infinite dark void called space. Let's think that he was also told that space contains even greater dangers than the substratum of the Earth. For example, meteors weighing tons freely moving around it. There is no reason why they should not alter their courses and collide with the Earth. Surely that person would not be able to forget, even for a moment, the risky situation he's in. He would investigate how people lead their lives in such an environment to which they hang on by the skin of their teeth. He would realize that a flawless system has been brought into being. The inside of the planet on which he lives contains great danger, yet very delicate balances prevent this danger from harming people, except in unusual circumstances. The person who realizes this understands that the earth and all creatures on it live and continue their existence in safety only by the will of Allah, owing to the flawless balance He has created. This example is only one of millions, even billions of examples upon which people need to ponder. Giving another example would be useful to help us understand how heedlessness affects people's faculty of thought and restrains their intellectual capacity. People know that the life of this world passes away and ends very rapidly, yet still, they behave as if they will never leave this world. They act as if there is no death in the world. This indeed is a kind of spell carried over from generation to generation. This has such a strong effect that when someone talks about death, people immediately close the subject for fear of breaking the spell on them and facing the realities. People who have spent their entire lives in order to buy fine houses, summer residences, and cars, and to send their children to good colleges, don't want to think that one day they will die, and that they won't be able to take their cars, their houses, or children with them. Consequently, rather than beginning to do something for the real life after death, they choose not to think. However, everyone, sooner or later, will definitely die. And after one dies, whether one believes it or not, the eternal life will begin for everyone. Whether this eternal life will be spent in paradise or in hell depends on what one has done in the short life of this world. While such is the plain truth, the only reason why people behave as if death doesn't exist is this spell that has covered them up because they don't think. Those who cannot, by thinking, save themselves from this spell and therefore from a heedless state, will understand the facts by seeing them with their eyes after they die. Allah communicates this fact in the Quran. You were heedless of this, so we have stripped you of your covering, and today your sight is sharp. Surah 50, verse 22. As Allah says in the verse, the sight, which here is blurred because of not thinking, will be sharp at the time when the person gives account in the hereafter after death. It should be pointed out that people deliberately impose on themselves such a spell. They suppose that by doing so, they will live restful and relaxed lives. However, it is very easy for anyone to make a decision and shake off this mental numbness and begin to live with a clear consciousness. Allah has presented the solution to people. People who reflect can dispel this enchantment while they are in the world. They thus come to understand that all events have a purpose and an inner meaning, and are able to see wisdom in the events that Allah creates at every instant. One can think at any time and anywhere. There is no time, place, or condition necessary for thought. Anyone may think while walking on the street, going to the office, driving a car, working at the computer, attending a friend's gathering, watching TV, or having lunch. While driving a car, for example, it is possible to see hundreds of people outdoors. He who looks at these people can think about many different things. It may come to his mind that the physical appearances of these hundreds of people are completely different. People share basically similar organs such as eyes, eyebrows, eyelashes, hands, arms, legs, mouths, and noses. It is astonishing that they all look so different from one another. Thinking a little further, one remembers the following. Allah has created billions of people over thousands of years, all different from one another. This certainly is a piece of evidence of what a superior and mighty creator Allah is. The person watching all these people rushing may be occupied by many different thoughts. At first glance, each one of these people seems a distinct individual. Every one of them has his own world, wishes, plans, ways of living, topics that make him happy or unhappy, and tastes. Yet, these differences are misleading. In general, every human being is born, grows up, goes to school, looks for a job, works, marries, has children, sends the children to school, marries them off, ages, becomes a grandmother or grandfather, and finally, passes away. Whether one lives in a neighborhood in Istanbul or in a Mexican city doesn't change anything at all. All of these people will definitely die one day. A century later, perhaps not even one of these people will be alive. The person who realizes all this carries on thinking and asks himself the following questions. Since all of us will die one day, why do everybody act as if they will never depart from this world? While a person whose death is certain ought to strive for his life after death, how is it that almost all people behave as if their lives in this world will never end? Such a person is one who thinks and reaches a very crucial conclusion from what he thinks. A great majority of people don't think about these issues. If they are suddenly asked, "What are you thinking at the moment?" it will be seen that they think extremely unnecessary things that won't be of much use to them. However, man is able to think meaningful, wise, and important subjects every moment from the time he wakes up until he sleeps, and derive conclusions from what he thinks. In the Quran, Allah informs us that in all circumstances the believers reflect and derive beneficial conclusions from their thinking. It is stated in Surah Al-Imran, verses 190 and 191 as follows. In the creation of the heavens and the earth and the alternation of night and day, there are signs for people with intelligence. Those who remember Allah standing, sitting, and lying on their sides and reflect on the creation of the heavens and the earth. Our Lord, you have not created this for nothing. Glory be to you. So safeguard us from the punishment of the fire. In addition to all these, in order for contemplation to benefit a person and lead him to the right conclusion, he should always think positively. For instance, a person who, seeing someone far more handsome than himself, feels inferior because of his physical inadequacy by thinking about the other person's good looks, or who becomes jealous of this person, is thinking a thought of which Allah does not approve. Yet, a person who aims to earn the approval of Allah considers the good looks of the other person as a manifestation of Allah's perfect creation. Since he looks at this person as a beauty Allah has created, he derives great pleasure from it. He asks Allah to enhance the beauty of this person in the hereafter. As for himself, he also asks Allah for true and eternal beauty in the hereafter. He realizes that man can never be perfect in this world, because the world has been created with imperfections as a part of the test. His craving for paradise increases. This is certainly only one example of sincere thought. Throughout life, man encounters many instances like this. He is tested to see whether he displays good manners and a way of thought with which Allah will be pleased. His being successful in the test and his contemplation bringing favor to him in the hereafter depend on his deriving lessons and warnings from the things on which he reflects. For this, it is imperative that one thinks truthfully continually. Allah points out this fact in the Quran as follows. It is He who shows you His signs and sends down provisions to you out of heaven. But none pay heed save those who turn unto Him repentant. Surah 40, verse 13. Certain things cross one's mind every moment of one's life. There is almost no moment, save at times of sleep, that the human mind is utterly blank. However, a great many of these are useless, futile, and unnecessary thoughts that are of no avail in one's hereafter, that lead nowhere, and serve one no good. If someone tries to remember what he thought during the day and notes it down, then looks over it at the end of the day, he would see how futile are most of his thoughts. Even if he were to find some of it useful, he would most likely be mistaken. Just as people waste time dealing with futile things in their daily lives, equally they spend time in vain carried away by futile thoughts. In Surah Muminun, verse 3, that reads, "Successful indeed are the believers who keep aloof from what is vain." Allah advises people to be strong-willed in this area. Surely this command of Allah holds true for people's thoughts as well. This is because thoughts, unless we control them consciously, continuously flow through our minds. One unconsciously jumps from one thought to another. While thinking about the shopping one will purchase on one's way home, all of a sudden one finds oneself thinking about the things a friend told one 2 years ago. This uncontrolled and useless thinking may go on uninterruptedly throughout the day. Yet, controlling thought is possible. Everyone possesses the ability to think things that will improve him, his faith, mind, courtesy, and his surroundings. When one fails to control one's thoughts and direct them towards achieving a good end, one may often feel apprehension or treat events that have not happened as if they have occurred and become led astray by grief, distress, worry, and fear. Someone who has a young person studying for a university exam, for example, may make up scenarios before the exam takes place of what might happen in the case that his child fails the exam. If in the future his son cannot find a good job and earn enough money, he won't be able to marry. Even if he marries, how will he be able to afford the expenses of a wedding? If he fails the exam, all the money spent on the preparatory courses will have been wasted and, moreover, he will be disgraced in the eyes of people. What if his best friend's son passes and his own son fails? These misapprehensions go on and on. The person's son, however, has not even taken the examination yet. Throughout his life, someone who is distant from the religion cannot resist such useless worries. There is surely a reason for it. In the Quran, it has been related that the reason why people cannot be relieved of useless anxieties is their lending ear to the whisperings of Satan. In Surah Nisa, verse 119, the promise of Satan. Most certainly I will lead them astray and excite in them vain desires, is stated, and people are warned about it. He who is occupied with futile anxieties, who forgets Allah and doesn't think clearly, is always open to the whisperings of Satan. In other words, if man, deceived by the life of the world, doesn't exercise his willpower and act conscientiously, and if he lets himself drift in the course of events, he comes completely under the control of Satan. One of the most crucial patterns of behavior of Satan is his giving people anxieties. Therefore, all misapprehensions, pessimism, and anxieties such as, "What will I do if such and such happens?" contrived in the mind are caused by the whisperings of Satan. Allah shows people the way to save themselves from this situation. In the Quran, Allah advises people that when an evil impulse from Satan provokes them, they should seek refuge in Allah and remember Him. This is stated in Surah Araf, verse 201-202. As for those who perform their duty, when they are bothered by visitors from Satan, they remember and immediately see clearly. But as for their brothers, the visitors lead them further into error, and they do not stop at that. Someone who reflects sees what is right, and someone who does not goes wherever Satan drags him. The important thing is to know that these thoughts will be of no use to the person, and will, on the contrary, hamper him from thinking the truth, reflecting on important matters, and therefore purifying the mind from these useless thoughts. Man can think properly only if he frees his mind from the futile thoughts. In this way, he keeps aloof from what is vain, as Allah commands in the Quran. There are many factors that hinder people from thinking. A single one, or a number, or all of them may detain a person from thinking and seeing the truth. In this respect, it is necessary that everyone identify the factors that affect them negatively and be rid of them. Otherwise, one cannot see the real face of the life of this world, and that might bring great loss in the hereafter. In the Quran, Allah tells us the situation of those people who are accustomed to think superficially. They know an outward aspect of the life of this world, but are heedless of the hereafter. Have they not reflected within themselves? Allah did not create the heavens and the earth and everything between them except with truth and for a fixed term. Yet many people reject the meeting with their Lord. Surah 30, verse 7-8. One of the issues that mislead people most is their belief that what the majority does is right. Man is usually inclined to accept what he is taught by the people around him, rather than finding the truth by thinking. He sees that things that seem odd to him at first sight are most of the time considered ordinary by people, and moreover, are not even noticed by them, and after a while, he too begins to become accustomed to them. For instance, a great part of the people in his circle does not acknowledge that they will die one day. They don't even let anyone talk about this topic in order not to remember death. Seeing this, the person looks around him and says, "Since everybody is like that, there must be nothing wrong with my behaving the same way," and begins to live without remembering death at all. If, however, the people around him had acted with fear of Allah and struggled with due struggle for the hereafter, most probably this person too would have changed his attitude. Or to give another example, on TVs and magazines, hundreds of news items of disasters, unfairness, injustice, oppression, suicide, homicide, theft and swindle are covered, and thousands of needy people are mentioned every day. Yet many people who read these news items turn the pages of the newspaper or switch the TV channels with inner calm. In general, people don't think why there are so many of these kind of news items, or what has to be done and what kind of precautions have to be taken in order to stop them, or what they themselves can do about these problems. Neither do people around them think over those problems. Most people hold others responsible for these problems, employing such logic as, "Is it up to me to save the world?" Yet, thinking like this is not a benefit, but a loss for the person. Indolence is a factor that keeps the majority of people from thinking. Because of mental indolence, people do everything the way they have always seen and to which they are used. To give an example from our daily lives, when something needs repair, men use the methods they have been taught since their childhood. They are generally reluctant to practice a new method that might be more practical and efficient. Such people's styles of speech are also the same. The way an accountant speaks, for example, is just the same as all the other accountants he has seen in his life. Doctors, bankers, salesmen, people from all classes have particular styles of speech. They don't seek to find the most proper, the best, the most favorable way of thinking about it. They just imitate what they have heard. The solutions found to problems also reflect indolence in thinking. For example, the manager of a building brings to the building's garbage problem exactly the same solution as the one brought by previous managers. Or a mayor tries to solve the traffic problem by looking at what preceding mayors have done. In many cases, because of not thinking, he is unable to find new solutions. Certainly, the examples cited here are issues from which people suffer harm in their everyday lives. Yet there are subjects far more important than those which, if people fail to think about, may cause them to suffer great and eternal loss. The cause of this loss is one's failure to think about the purpose of existence in the world and disregarding the fact that death is unavoidable and that they will definitely meet the day of reckoning after death. In the Quran, Allah invites people to reflect upon these crucial matters. In Surah Hud, verses 21 through 24, it is stated, "Those are the people who have lost their own selves. What they invented has abandoned them. Without question, they will be the greatest losers in the hereafter. As for those who believe and do right actions and humble themselves before their Lord, they are the companions of the garden, remaining in it timelessly, forever. The likeness of the two groups is that of the blind and deaf and the seeing and hearing. Are they the same as one another?"